At the gates of heaven one day, there were two lines of husbands. One was the dominant husband's line, and the other line was for henpecked husbands. Now, the henpecked husband's line extended almost out of sight. In other words, there was a whole bunch of henpecked husbands standing at the gates of heaven. And in the line of dominant husbands, there was just one man standing there. He was kind of small, kind of timid looking. He appeared anything but a dominant type of husband. An angel walked over to this man and asked him why in the world he was the only one in this line. And the man said, "I don't know. All I know is my wife told me to stand here." A husband was advised by a psychiatrist that the reason he was having health problems is that he just took too much abuse and it was time for him to assert himself. He was told by this psychiatrist, "You don't have to let your wife henpeck you. Stand up for your rights. Show her who's the boss in your house. Go home and show her that you're the man of the house. You wear the pants in the house." Well, the husband thought that was a good idea, so he took the doctor's advice to heart. He rushed home. As soon as he walked in, he slams the door shut, shakes his fist in his wife's face, and he growls, "Listen to me, woman, from now on, you're taking orders from me. I want my supper right now. And when you get my supper on the table, I want you to go polish my shoes. Tonight, I'm going to go out with the boys. And you're going to stay home here where you belong. And another thing," he says, "guess who's going to comb my hair, give me a shave, and tie my tie?" And without batting an eye, his wife said, "The Undertaker." Gene Halfacre, who's the boss at your house? Oh! Marvin Howard, who's the boss at your house? Yes, you got to answer. Most of the time, you. Dave Green, who's the boss at your house? You don't have a boss. It's a partnership. Boy, that was a safe answer, wasn't it? He's storied. You mean he didn't tell the whole truth? Nothing but the truth, so help him God. Yeah, she's the boss of those kids. There's no doubt about that. Let me tell you the story this morning of old Zeke Borden and his son Wilbur. Zeke and Wilbur were farmers way back in the hills. Wilbur was 20 years old. He loved to go coon hunting. And he liked to also sit down at the old general store talking with the guys. Wilbur was also in love with a sweet young thing. Her name was Becky McCoy. She was a pretty young thing. One day, Wilbur told his dad that he decided it was time for him to get married, that him and Becky was going to get hitched. And old Zeke looked at his son and he said, "Son, I want you to know one thing. When you get married, your freedom will be gone. Becky will put a stop to all the things that you like to do, son. You just as well go sell those coon hounds, because little Becky's not going to let you go coon hunting of a night anymore. And you can say goodbye to all your buddies down there at the general store, because she's not going to let you sit around down there loafing with the guys anymore." What do you think of that, Jay? You don't have no coon dogs. Well, let me ask you this, Jay. Do you think old Zeke was right in what he told his son? Yeah? Well, let me ask you this, folks. How many think that Becky would do that to Wilbur? How many think she would do that? Raise your hands. How many think that Becky would submit to Wilbur? How many think that? No, not many. Not many. Point number one, and it's actually not a point, it's a question for you this morning. The first one of my message to you this morning is, Is there submission in your home? Is there submission in your home? I want to remind you what God's Word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, that, folks, is not my word. That's not my opinion, but that is God's word. Let me read it to you one more time. But I would have you know, God's word says that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Okay, man, there it is. You heard it from the Word of God. Men, are you listening to me? Who are the husbands to be in submission to? The head of every man is Christ. That's what God's Word says. So every man is to be living a life of submission to Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, I want to get these points square in our head before we move along and people get lost on me on this message, okay? Now what about it, guys, before we move on? You know what God's Word says for you guys. Are you living a life in submission to Jesus Christ? Is the Lord the head of your life? Do you live a life in submission to Jesus Christ? Okay, ladies, now it's your turn. According to God's Word now, not what you think, not what your mama thinks, not what all the girls think, but according to God's Word, who are the wives to be in submission to? Your husband. 1 Corinthians 11:3, the head of the woman is the man. So how about it, ladies? How about it, ladies? Are you living in submission to your husband? Who is responsible for what decisions are made around the house? Who's responsible for that in your home? I found on the internet some interesting facts. According to a USA Today survey, they asked 4,500 men and women some questions, and here's what they found out. Women are responsible for deciding what's for dinner, and then preparing it, managing the household budget, and raising the children. Men and women, in other words, husband and wife together, share the responsibility for deciding how much to spend on major purchases, how much insurance to carry, and where to buy it. Now, according to these 4,500 people interviewed by USA Today, men are responsible for deciding what to watch on television. But that in itself is kind of sad, isn't it? Now, in our Bible text here this morning that we're looking at, it says men and women should submit to one another. Did you notice that? It says men and women should submit to one another. It's in verse 21 of the text I just read to you from Ephesians chapter 5. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, this kind of, I know what some of you are thinking. I mean, well, wait a minute now, Brother Dave. How in the world can we submit to one another, and then how can the wife submit to her husband? And I mean, this is kind of a jumbled up mess. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Well, here's the answer to that. This verse, verse 21, where it says that you are submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, is not talking about married people. It's not talking about husbands and wives here. That verse is about Christians submitting to one another in the church. That's what that verse is about. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says this, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the older. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth, not an easy word to say, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble." So, here in the church, folks, here in Gospel Chapel, all of us are the bride of Christ, amen? We are. We are part of the bride of Christ in the church. Now, a certain group of people should never boss the church around. Did you hear that? A certain group of people should never, ever boss the church around. Now, there is a little bit of an exception to this. There is biblical authority established in the Bible for the operation of a church. Okay? But what I'm going to say before I get into this is, what the Bible is saying here is that three or four people who are not given authority by the Bible to do so should never ever control a church. Okay? And unfortunately, some of us have come from places where we've seen that happen. In fact, I believe that's a major reason why the church that was in this building before us is no longer, because that happened. But anyway, there is biblical authority for how there is a chain of command, if you will, in the church. First of all, Ephesians 5:23 says, Christ is the head of the church, right? So whose church is this, folks? This is Christ's church. Now, it's okay if somebody asks you who goes to gospel chapel, you can say, well, that's my church. That's okay to say that, okay? But in reality, this church does not belong to you. It does not belong to Dave Rigg, although when this church was first sold to us back nearly 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, the headline that came out in one of the papers is Dave Rigg buys church. I didn't buy this church. I didn't have $5,500 to buy this church. Gospel Chapel, you folks bought this church, okay? It's not my church. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, the Bible says that me, the pastor, is to live in submission to Jesus Christ because he's the head of this church. Listen to these verses. 1 Peter 5:2. Now, this is a verse for me, okay? Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Taking the oversight thereof. Not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. I don't know whether I've got that ready mind straight down here yet, but I'm trying on the rest of it, okay? Then in 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13, God's Word says, And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Now that's a verse for you folks. It says again, I'll read it. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And then listen to Hebrews 13:17. And this is your verse, okay? Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So, the Bible says that the church is to be in submission to who, first of all? Jesus Christ. You're to be in submission to Jesus Christ. And then who? The pastor. The pastor, okay? Now, what about the elders? This church has three elders. Listen to what God's Word says in 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. So elders, God's Word says that you are to take the oversight of the church. You are to live in submission to Jesus Christ. You are to live in submission to the pastor, but you have the responsibility of oversight of the congregation as well as I do. Okay? So the elders submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and also to the pastor, and the congregation submits to the elders as well. Okay? And also, the congregation submits to one another. Again, Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In other words, you shouldn't ever have the responsibility, or not a responsibility, but an attitude, or I'm going to boss somebody around in this church. I mean, I give more money to this church than so-and-so does, so I ought to have more authority in this church when it comes to making decisions. Or I ought to be able to have more power in this church. No, folks, we submit to one another. We submit to one another. Nobody tries to bully people around in Gospel Chapel. Amen? All right. I want to read something to you here just a little bit that I found on the internet, which really describes, I think, the attitude we ought to have. Driving down a country road, I came to a very narrow bridge. In front of the bridge, a sign was posted, Yield. Seeing no oncoming cars, I continued across the bridge to my destination. On my way back home, I came to the same one-lane bridge, now from the other direction. To my surprise, I saw another yield sign posted. Curious, I thought, I'm sure there was one posted on the other side. When I reached the other side of the bridge, I looked back. Sure enough, yield signs had been placed at both ends of the bridge. Drivers from both directions were requested to give right-of-way. It was a reasonable and gracious way of preventing a head-on collision. Now, folks, that's a great illustration, and that ought to remind us in the church that no matter what direction you're coming from, you both get yield signs, okay? And if we obey those yield signs, we're not going to have head-on collisions. We're not going to have fussing and fighting in this church because we are yielding to one another, right? It makes sense to have yield signs on both ends of the bridge. Everybody yields to one another. That's a great illustration of this, where it says that we are to submit to one another in the fear of God. Now, let's get back to the home. When it comes to the home, God's Word has this to say. Ephesians 22, or 5, 22 and 23, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." We lost a lady who came here to Gospel Chapel for a little while. I won't mention her name here from the pulpit. I don't think that's appropriate. But there was a lady who came, I don't know, probably three or four Sundays. And she wanted to have a conference with me one night. So I set up a meeting to sit down and talk with her in my office. And she had a few questions about Gospel Chapel, about some of our doctrines and what we believed. And I found out that her daughter is an ordained minister. Well, the way I read the Bible, folks, that's unscriptural. And this woman went on to tell me that she is a teacher of the Bible, that in some of the churches that she's been involved in, she taught classes, Bible classes. And I asked her if she had men in those classes, and she, oh, yes. So I said, "You've been teaching men?" "Oh, yeah." Well, when I told her that women will never teach men at Gospel Chapel because we believe that's what the Bible says, well, she didn't argue with me that night, but she hasn't been back since. And that's fine. That's okay. She apparently interprets the Scriptures differently than I do. But I know what God's Word says. Amen? I'll read that verse to you again, folks. I know this is not politically correct. I know this is something that would get censored out of a lot of places and sadly even out of some churches. But let me read to you again what God's Word says in 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. "Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." I have no problem with women teaching Bible classes for children. I have no problem with women teaching Bible classes for other women, but I believe it is unscriptural for a woman to teach a class over men because I believe God's Word says it usurps authority of the man. Well, let's get back to Wilbur and his paw, old Zeke, see what's going on in that story. Old Zeke had told his son, "Wilbur, if you get married to that sweet little Becky, I want you to know, son, sweet little Becky's going to end up wearing the pants in your family." But Wilbur said, "Oh, Paul, I don't believe that. I just don't believe that at all." Old Zeke said, "Son, I'll prove it to you. You don't believe me, but I'll prove it to you that what I'm telling you is true, son." He says, "I want you to go to the hen house, and I want you to catch a dozen chickens. And then I want you to tie their legs together and put them in the back of the old wagon, and hitch up two horses to that wagon, and I want you to drive into town, son. And I want you to stop at every house that you come to and ask every couple who is the boss in that house. And wherever you find that the man is the boss, I want you to give him one of those horses. And every house that you stop where you find that the woman is the boss, will you give her a chicken?" And then Zeke looked straight at his son, and he said, "Son, I'm going to tell you right now, before you ever start out on this journey, you'll give away all your chickens, and you'll come back home with all those horses." Point number two, in your home, Not only is there submission, but is there love. You see, folks, this message and this passage we're looking at here this morning is not just about submission, but it's about love. Point number two, in your home, is there love? I want you to look, husbands. I want you to look. I know some of you guys are sitting back thinking, oh, I'm loving this message. I'm loving this. Oh, I hope my wife is listening. Oh, man, he's giving her an earful today. Brother Dave, preach it, bro. Preach it. But, men, I want you to look at verse 25 in our text. I want you, if you're not going to open your Bible and look at it for yourself, listen to me very carefully what God's Word says. He says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, if you think that's easy to do, I got another thing for you. It's not easy. It's going to be just as hard for you to do that as it might be for that precious young wife of yours to submit to you. Look at verse 28 in the same passage. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And now look at verse 33, guys. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And then let me throw in another verse from Titus, chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, which is the same thing for love, in patience. That word charity means love. So how about it, guys? You've been enjoying all this message about the wife living in submission to you, but I want you to be honest with yourself now. Do you really love your wife? Now, I'm not talking about physical love now, okay? Don't get these two things messed up here. I'm talking about love. And the word love, remember a couple of weeks ago I preached on love, and I was talking about that word agape or agape, the sacrificial type of love. Do you love your wife in a sacrificial way? See, this is not so much fun now, is it, guys? Do you love your wife, guys? I want you to think about that just for a few minutes before I move on. Do you really love her? God's Word commands you to love your wife in the same way. The Bible says, in the same way that Jesus loves the church. Now, what does that mean? What did Jesus do for his church, folks? He gave his life for it. He gave everything for his church. He sacrificed his own blood for his wife. Now, I'm not saying you got to go out and do that, guys. But what I'm saying is, what God's Word says is that every man should love his wife in the same strength and power as Jesus loves the church. In other words, there's nothing that your wife needs or wants that you should ever, ever feel, I don't love her enough to give her that. See? It's a sacrificial type of love. Do you sacrifice for your wife? Instead of coming home like this guy did and throwing his fist in his wife's face and saying, I want my supper on the table right now, do you come home and help her because maybe she's had a tough time? Instead of demanding that you get to watch your basketball game on TV, do you ever say, honey, what would you like to watch tonight? Are you listening, Gene? Okay. Now, what about the ladies? The husbands have been told that they're supposed to love their wives. The Bible verses that we read in the very beginning of this message this morning, they don't say anything about the wife loving her husband. Did you notice that? There's no mention in the passage that I read this morning where God commanded you ladies to love your husbands. It just says that she's supposed to what? You ladies said that real well. I thought some of you might stutter when I had you to say that word. It just says you're to submit. So, let me ask you this, ladies. Does God command you ladies to love your husband? Not in this passage, he doesn't. But what do you think? Does God expect you to love your husband? Well, I want you ladies, you guys don't have to turn there because you're going to enjoy this just as much as anybody else. I want you ladies, if you have your Bible handy, to turn to Titus chapter 2, verse 2 through 5. Titus chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. And I want you, especially you older ladies in this church, to pay particular attention to this because I think this is one of the reasons why we're having a lot of problems in marriage today. Titus 2, chapter 2, verses 2 through 5 says, "The aged women likewise." Now, that doesn't mean you're up in their 80s, okay? The way I interpret Scripture, an aged woman in this would be, well, mid-30s on up. Mid-30s on up. "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things." Now look at this next part. "That they may teach the young women to be sober." And what's the next part, ladies? "To love their husbands." And then it goes on to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good. And then what's the next part? "Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." So this passage does say that the wife is commanded to what? Love her husband and to be obedient to him. Why? And why? Why is? I know some of you ladies are thinking, "Oh, Brother Dave, move on to something else. I don't like this." Why in the world would God command you ladies to love your husbands and to be obedient to him? Why? Well, it's right there in the verse. "So the word of God will not be blasphemed." See? You see, folks, unsaved people, people who do not believe God's word is God's word, people who do not believe in the Holy Scriptures will say to you that this won't work in marriage. It won't work for the wife to live in submission to her husband. It won't work for the wife to live in obedience to her husband. It just won't work. Especially in the society we live in today, it won't work. So therefore, God's word has got to be outdated. And when you Christian women do exactly the opposite of what God's word says, you've blasphemed God's word. You have said to the unsaved people, "You're right. You're right. God's word is wrong. God's word is outdated. Therefore, just disregard what it says there. It don't work." No, ladies. God's word says you live in loving relationship with your husband and live in obedience to him. And when you do that, you're showing these unsaved people that you not only believe God's word, but you live it. You live it. And you show them also, folks, that it does work. You show them that it does work. That God's word does not tell lies. God's word does not command us to do things that we cannot do. So, is there love in your home? How about it, guys? Does your wife feel loved? I didn't ask you if you love your wife, but I ask you this question. Does your wife feel loved? If I had her to write, if I handed her a slip of paper that you couldn't see, and I said, "For you ladies, I want you to write on this piece of paper, does your husband love you, yes or no?" And then fold it up and give it to me. What would she write? Would she write yes? Would she write no? Or maybe, I don't know, I'm not sure. If she couldn't definitely say yes, you've got some work to do, guys. How about it, ladies? Does your husband feel loved? Does your husband feel loved? If I gave him the slip of paper and told him to write yes, no, or maybe, what would he write? Point number 3. Is there unselfishness in your home? Not only is there submission, not only is there love in your home, but is there submission, or I'm sorry, unselfishness in your home? Notice what it says in our passage today in verse 25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church." And what did he do? Gave himself for it. See, that's unselfishness when we give ourselves. Let me ask you, husbands, are you selfish? Be honest, men. Are you selfish? Are you selfish men? Do you expect your wife to always give in to your wishes? Jesus gave his life for his bride, the church. Right, guys? Verse 29 says that we ought to nourish and cherish our wives. Let me ask you this, guys. Do you think that your wife's life is better because of you? Hey, that's a pretty tough question, isn't it? Is your wife's life better because of you? Again, if I took your wife aside and asked her these same questions, How would she answer? How would she answer? Maybe we guys need to get busy, huh? Maybe we've got a little improving to do. Let's check back in with Wilbur and see how he's doing with his load of chickens and his horses headed to town. Wilbur accepted the challenge of his paw. He caught 10 chickens, tied their legs together, throwed them in the back of the wagon, hitched up the two horses to the wagon, and he headed for town. He was driving a team of horses. One was a black and one was a bay. We'll get into that story a little further, but I want to keep you in suspenders for a while. Let's go to point number 4, the last one. Not only is there submission in your home, not only is there love in your home, not only is there unselfishness in your home, but the last point, is there respect in your home? Is there respect in your home? Verse 33 of our text this morning says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." That last part's a real kicker, isn't it? See that she reverence her husband. I want you to listen also to 1 Peter chapter 3. "Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord." Now, don't get too twisted off on that, guys. I don't expect, God's word doesn't say that you ladies ought to be calling your husbands Lord, okay? "Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement." Now, we know this, don't we? Respect has to be earned, right? Respect has to be earned. Are you a grateful person? Are you true to one another? What do you say to one another? What kind of words do you use when you're talking to one another? You know, I don't know about you folks, but I am sometimes appalled by the way I see children sometimes talking to their parents. Have you folks noticed that? Haven't some of you seen kids that you've seen them talking to their parents, and you just, if it wouldn't get you in trouble, haven't you just wanted to grab those kids and give them a good shaking? Huh? Isn't it awful the way kids talk to their parents these days? I want to ask you folks something. How many of you folks are old enough to remember the TV program Father Knows Best? Remember that? Robert Young played the father. Remember that? How many of you remember My Three Sons? Old Fred McMurray had those boys. How many of you remember the Donna Reed Show? Now, folks, would you agree with me that in those three particular programs and all the other sitcoms that were on the television at that time, would you all agree with me that in those television programs, the father was respected? Would you agree with that? I think so. Have you noticed this, folks? In the television programs that are on the air now, although I don't watch much network television, I do hear a lot about it. Have you noticed that in practically all of the sitcom television programs today that are on the tube, that the father is portrayed as an idiot? Have you noticed that? He's an idiot. Not only does the wife make fun of him, but the kids make fun of him. I mean, The Simpsons, Bart Simpson, and all those. I mean, I've never watched that program, but I've heard enough to know I don't ever want to watch it. And you know, I've noticed this too, even on the radio commercials. I just got this feeling that in these powerful advertising agencies in New York City and in Los Angeles, that most of the people who are writing these programs, these commercials that appear on our radio, are written by women. Have you noticed that in all of these, not all of them, but most of them, in the radio commercials, that they're always making fun of the guy? He's the one who don't have a clue as to what's going on, and the woman, she's got all the answers. If you've never noticed that, I want you to listen carefully to that. I've noticed it. Now, you can call me a chauvinist pig if you want to, folks, but if you listen closely, you'll see it. In the radio commercials, in the TV commercials, in all of the advertising commercials you'll see, the guy is always portrayed as nothing less than a boob. I mean, he doesn't have a clue as to what's going on or what he ought to be buying, but the woman, she's got all the answers. Folks, it's no wonder with what we see on the television, with what we hear on the radio, it's no wonder that men today are held in very low esteem in our society today. And it's sad. I think our family life in America today is in terrible shape as compared to what it was like when I was growing up and what it was like when most of you were growing up. Well, let's check in with Wilbur. I know some of you are wondering what happened. Wilbur had stopped at every house on the way to town, and so far, he had stopped to talk to 9 couples, okay? Now remember the story here, in case some of you were sleeping. His dad told him to tie 10 chickens' legs together, throw them in the back, hitch up the 2 horses to the wagon and head for town and stop at every house and ask who's the boss here. And every house where the woman is the boss, leave a chicken there. And if he finds a house where the man is the boss, leave one of the horses there. Okay? So that's the play. He stopped at 9 houses so far. Now let's see what you folks think would have been the results. How many chickens do you think Wilbur had left now after stopping at 9 houses? How many people think that he had 5 chickens left? How many think he had 4 chickens left? How many think he only had 3 chickens left? How many think he had only 2 chickens left? Well, the sad truth is that Wilbur had given away 9 chickens so far. 9 chickens. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Not too far from town, Wilbur came to a nice little house. He saw an old man and a woman standing out in their garden. They were gardening out there, weeding and hoeing and pulling weeds and so on. And he called out to them as he was driving by their house with his team of horses and just 1 chicken back there in the back of the wagon. He said, "Hey, who's the boss in your house?" And the man spoke up and said, "I am." Wilbur said to the woman, "Is he the boss? Is that right?" The woman replied, "Yes, he's the boss here." Now Wilbur stopped and he explained his reason to this couple, why he asked that question. And then he told the man to pick out one of the horses on the team, and just as soon as he got home, while he'd unhitch the horses and bring back the horse that he had picked out for him, because so far he had been the only man on his journey to town where he found that he was the boss of the house. Well, the old man and the old lady, they looked over the horses carefully to decide what horse ought to be picked out. And finally the husband said, "I think the black horse is the best one. I think I'll take that one." The wife spoke up and said, "I think the bay horse is the better one. I would choose him." The old man took a careful look at the bay horse and he said, "Well, I guess I'll take the bay horse." Old Wilbur smiled and he said, "No, you'll take a chicken." Well, I wonder, folks, I wonder if old Wilbur had stopped at your house, if old Wilbur had stopped at your house, what would he have left? What would he have left? In closing, I want you to listen to this little story that I found on the internet. A happy couple had always raised cucumbers and made sweet pickles together. The husband just loved to watch things grow. Thus, he spent his winters studying the seed catalogs to get the best possible cucumbers. The whole family enjoyed preparing the soil, planting and caring for the plants. He would often go out and just enjoy the way they grew. His wife loved to make sweet pickles. She studied the best recipes and the best methods of preparing and preserving them. They were such a happy family, and all their visitors went home with a jar of their famous pickles. The church always had a good supply of their pickles as well. People marveled at this family that had found a project they could do together. Finally, the man died. The next spring, all the children returned home. They said to their mother, "We know how much you loved making pickles, so we are going to prepare the garden and plant them for you." The mother smiled and said, "Thanks a lot, kids, but you don't have to do any planting, for I really didn't enjoy pickle making. I only did that because your father loved to grow the cucumbers so much." The children were all amazed, but the youngest son was upset because the father had pulled him aside not too long before he died and shared with him that he really didn't like growing cucumbers, but he only did it to please the mother. That's a pretty good illustration of a happy marriage, isn't it? Each doing what he thinks would please the other. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I am so grateful for the Christian couples that you have brought into the ministry of Gospel Chapel. And Lord, I pray that they realize that perhaps their marriages are not politically correct. That in this society we live in today, what the Bible says is clearly not practiced. People just don't believe your word, Lord. People don't think it's possible for a woman to live in submission and obedience to her husband and be happy. People don't believe that it's possible for a man to so love his wife that even though she submits and obeys him, not only will she be happy, but he will be happy as he sacrifices in whatever way is necessary to keep her satisfied and content in the bonds of marriage. But help us, Lord, who say we believe your word, to not only talk it, but practice it. Help us, Lord, to live in obedience to your commandments in marriage. And Lord, I pray you'll help these older women of the church to show the younger girls growing up just exactly how God designed marriage to function. Oh Lord, bring us back to the way you want us to live in marriage. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.